There is no big book of penises. Well, I mean, maybe there is one, but I certainly don't have it. Welcome to week 7 of the Off-Center Experiment. We're joined by Kate Johnson for this week's episode of...
Well, we'll just tell your mother that we ate it all.
Because now we can get a few shots in.
I think he's doing a bad tweet right now.
Yeah. He just like doesn't know whether to keep tweeting or
All convinced him as a joke was good.
Yeah.
When actually it's bad. And your instincts are bad for thinking to do it.
Yeah. So when you listen to this, go back and look at his feed and see how poorly it performed.
And you don't have abs.
God, imagine if it like just went viral.
It would be his biggest tweet.
Yeah.
And you don't have ads.
I think a tweet with about 50 likes would be his biggest tweet.
Oh, that's a low
blow. I'd be pretty happy with 50.
Yeah, I'd be stoked with 50
like
likes.
If I'm honest.
I'm happy with 50 as well, but like, I've got a few over that. Much over.
I think I've got 35 ones.
I think I've got about 300 ones.
Damn. Oh, I think my highest is 100 tweeted. Something.
What's the highest amount of likes you've ever got for Twit?
I think like 70 something.
Okay. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's all right.
You're not a minority. You're a minority, then you get a few more likes.
Yeah. I'm a minority in the sense that I'm the last rational man.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm the only one making goddamn sense around here. That puts me in the minority ahead of all these idiots.
Only one talking sense to these libtards, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. That's just me and Ben Shapiro. The only one speaking truth to power over here.
I'm the only one left that listens on repeat to the Green Day song Minority.
I bought that on single.
Excuse me there, but I'm feeling very erased right now.
trans erasure.
I'm listening to that song every fucking day.
It's the only good song on that album.
What album is it?
Warning.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, probably.
I know the song Warning's not very good. I can tell you that much.
Well, because it was
in my morning.
Wasn't that the big like you know, when they were doing the Bullet in a Bible tour, like the main set closer was Minority?
I wouldn't be surprised. I know that like Warning as an album was kind of them being like, we don't just do pop punk. But instead it was like, we all do kind of
we
like,
also suck.
Yeah, we also do kind of like mid-tempo acoustic bullshit.
Yeah.
And then Minority's on the album also.
I like it when Green Day take like the pace down a little, they lean back, get a kind of like a chill vibe to it, they become Green Evening.
Yeah, good stuff.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, tweet that one out.
Yeah, get your phone back.
Okay, guys, give me 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like you'd be, if you were Billy Joe Armstrong, desperate to kind of break out of like being a snotty-nosed pop-punk person, and you've just had maybe the biggest hit of your career with Time of Your Life, like the flashbulb in your head would be like more acoustic stuff.
Yeah.
Surely. But it's actually... black suit shirt, red tie.
Yeah.
Fuck George Bush.
Yeah, I mean, the three stages of grief in the wake of 9/11.
I forgot
black
that
black shirt, red tie, stage three.
I forgot
George
that
Bush.
He says, like, a homosexual slur in, like, American Idiot.
Yeah, he absolutely does.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Yeah.
When?
He, in the song, American Idiot.
I just don't
want to
be the faggot America.
Yeah.
Really?
No, I think he says, maybe I'm the American.
But doesn't... is it like he kind of gets a pass on that? Because isn't he like out at bisexual?
I think like even if he wasn't, the pass is that he's doing a character of a dumb shit.
Yeah.
I think the main thing is that this song came out in the year 2004. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know. But I think you'd still be surprised. Like, I don't think a mainstream rock song would be like pretty cool with the use of the word faggot.
No, I more meant that it's 2020 now.
Right.
I said, why are we talking about
it? It would have been beeped on like the radio.
It was. I remember it being beeped on the radio.
I got my time capsule from my high school like a year ago. And
fuck
I opened
let's go
it.
And it said, fuck George Bush.
No, it said, list your favorite band / singer. And I wrote Green Day / Vanessa Amorosi.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, man.
Remember Everybody? What a song.
I love that song. I had that album, The Power.
I thought you would have just said Informer.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't aware of Informer at that stage.
Oh, really?
No, that was a recent...
I came to you later in
life. If someone told me, like, what are Kay Johnson's two favorite things in 2004, I think I pretty quickly would have been, like, Green Day and Vanessa Amorosi.
Yeah.
Like, not
it
even
speaks
think.
To, like, both sides of my personality.
Yeah.
The dark side and the Green Day side.
Yeah, that's comedy.
A little bit of misdirection.
How does it feel to be back in the old house, Kate?
I like it. I feel very at home here. Very, very at home. I was just saying I really like the smell.
Yeah.
Strangely.
Yeah. I kind of, when I come here, it kind of feels how like a vampire does in church. You know what I mean?
Bad?
Yeah. My skin's
bad,
burning.
Bad for you emotionally.
Yeah.
Bad
yeah.
for you physically.
Yeah, I'm kind of like an allergic reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah, to being in here.
But you got your pink cowboy hat on again.
Dude, honestly, it feels so fucking
Do you
good.
Wear this every time?
Yeah, it only started on Thursday.
Started last right. time we recorded. Okay. But yeah.
But since then, he's become a much happier, healthier individual.
Ah. Yeah.
Actually, that's not true. He was really depressed on the last episode.
I'm in a good mood, guys. Let's not drop the ball.
But think how depressed he would have been without
the cowboy time bomb
hat.
Over
that's
here.
True, yeah, that's true.
It really sits well on your head.
It does.
Right? And it's like, bizarre. It's really framed.
I feel
your
like
face.
You have the right hair for it.
Yeah, everything yeah. about it.
Consequently, yeah. it's also the only thing that doesn't make your earring look so stupid.
Oh, that's yeah. true, like, actually.
How dare you talk that way about Trevor?
Okay.
Do you like my earring?
Is Trevor your earring?
Yeah, I just decided that. Do you like my earring?
Yes.
The response I generally get is, I didn't realize you didn't already have it.
I actually did not know.
Yeah,
I, that's
so
the
it's
first
like,
I've
if people
seen
assume
it.
I already have it, it can't be that outlandish.
It's a classic sleeper.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Have you seen that episode of The Simpsons where Milhouse gets an earring?
Sparkle, sparkle.
Yes.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
I think it looks like that episode of The Simpsons where a really hot character gets an earring and all the other characters want to fuck him.
Yeah.
I think it's like that episode of The Simpsons.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Is it new?
No, I got it pre-COVID.
Huh.
Like
I got it in like February.
It took us ages to notice to know, it.
Yeah, so it can't be that crazy.
Because you can see the hole in your other ear.
Yeah, I've had the holes in my ear since I was 20.
Yeah. So
yeah, I used to have the big stretched ones,
yes,
if you'll remember.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
I thought we did notice kind of quickly.
No, you know, like you noticed pretty quickly after seeing me, but by that stage, I got them like a week or two before everything locked down, and I didn't see you guys for 2 months.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
And you're like, this will change everything.
No, I got it before lockdown. I didn't know we were about to go in lockdown when I got it. I was like looking forward to you guys seeing it at gigs like that week, and then gigs ended.
I was looking forward to being made fun of immediately.
I was looking. Oh, shit.
Yeah. I wonder what the guys will think of my cool new earring.
That is so funny. That is like, sometimes you're just cute.
Thank you.
And that's you. One of them. I guess it's like, what'll everyone's?
I'm like 30 years old.
Yeah,
what will everyone? Like a brand new reason. Can't wait for the Bellas to see this one.
But just you leaving.
They're going to think I'm so cool.
I'm just thinking of you leaving the house with a pep in your step and you kiss Yvette, but like both of your legs go up,
yeah,
kicking
yeah.
like the remains.
I'll let you know what the guys think.
Yeah. See ya, honey.
Come home. They didn't like it.
Gee, Andrew, what'd the boys say about your new earring?
They said it makes me look gay.
Yeah.
They bullied me for 3.5 hours.
Yeah, they said it looks stupid in the big hole.
I think it looks good in the big hole. It's not even a sex thing that time. Come on, guys. Give me a break. Give me a little bit of credit. Give me a little bit of credit. No, I think the earring's cool, man. I think it gives me kind of like a sexy androgynous vibe.
I can't.
Yeah, you heard me.
Let's see. How
the
so?
Pink cowboy hat does more so than the
yeah,
earring.
Yeah, definitely.
It's just kind of like, I'm kind of like David Bowie. Kind of got like a femme sort of like mask androgyny kind of.
I think
like
this week I might actually remember to take a photo with our guest.
Yeah.
Do you think you? But you've got a beard and stuff at the moment.
Mm.
Yeah. Also a huge penis, and that also gets in the way of the
Andrew.
Androgyny.
Oh, if you're on this podcast, you're gonna be ready to say that a lot of times.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Andrew.
I feel like Kate's one of the only people that would actually make you stop and be like, oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah, he respects me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, she reminds me of my mum. So
yeah.
You famously did a Fringe show or Sydney Comedy Festival.
It was a
together?
Sydney
famously.
Comedy
yeah,
Festival.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe famously.
Yeah,
was
sold
the
out.
Photos
arenas.
Of it were taken in what is now my room. Kate's old room.
That's
yeah,
true,
that's
actually,
true.
Yeah.
You had very long hair.
I had very long hair.
And it was a slumber party.
Yeah, dude.
Slumber
it was
party
a great show. That was a real fun show. I don't
so
know.
It was kind of
time.
Like the proto You Up.
It was very different to You Up in a lot of ways.
I remember in that show.
I wasn't even
good
on
mood,
drugs.
Good mood, good mood.
I wasn't even on drugs during slumber party comedy.
Weren't you?
No, not really.
Oh, I would have thought that was
I just assumed
prime
that
time.
You always would
yeah.
be.
No, I hadn't really gotten into weed at that stage.
I remember you back announced for me every show.
Oh, yeah.
And you always said,
Oh, yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, get your dicks hard and pussies wet. It's Kate Johnson. And I was like, hello. Do you guys have skin conditions?
Yeah, we make a great team.
time they get the band back together.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Let's do Slumber Party Comedy, but it's spelled with a K and it's a three-way split. Jamie, you can produce.
Yeah, okay.
At the Metro Theatre, remember it came up as we were going bringing the band back together?
Oh,
I remember that.
Yeah, it was strange.
What? Yeah, there was like a weird event went up for our show at the Metro Theatre.
Slumber Party Comedy.
Probably not even a year ago?
Yeah, like years later.
Like,
yeah,
I guess we're doing this.
It would have been all right.
If the crowd wants it.
It would have been so good if like a few people had snuck through tickets. They were just waiting as well, being like, hey, Johnson and Andrew Hastings are back together. Get the wire ready.
Finally, the encore we've been waiting for.
And they're just like, well, we were going to take it off the Metro site, but 17 people bought tickets within the first minute.
Quick, put it in the container.
I reckon that would make them think, like, I wonder how many we would shift.
Yeah. 18.
Well, yeah.
Probably.
All right, if you're listening to this and you want to see an Andrew Hastings, Kate Johnson split bill, email the Metro Theatre. To, you know, line that up for us.
Well,
if the public want it, we'll get it.
We should do a public forum of which Andrew Hastings split bill would you most want to see?
Yeah, that's
a
great
big venue. Would you want to see Mortal Comedy? Would you want to see Slumber Party Comedy?
Mortal Comedy 2.
Misery Twins, Mortal Comedy 2.
Jokes to Bang 2.
Yep.
Misery Twins.
You were in Misery Twins. I forgot about that.
The Ice Cold Sydney Comedy Showcase.
Which one? Was that Melbourne?
That was like a big Melbourne one.
Yeah. And Adelaide.
I wasn't in the Adelaide version. I was doing emo.
Kate and I have done a split bill too. We were with Dan Muggleton.
In Adelaide.
Was that
comedy.
Jokes to Bang too?
No, that was Quantity over Comedy.
I think that one might have skipped by me. I read the advertiser very thoroughly.
It was the same week and year that I was doing another split bill. I was in the Mucho Relaxo Touro.
I remember Mucho Relaxo.
I've done Mucho Relaxo Melbo.
Yeah.
Oh.
With Jared.
Jared's so bad at naming things.
Yeah. He's only getting funnier though.
That's a good name.
Yeah,
so that's
fine,
like
then.
What 9 split bills you could choose of Hastings?
Yeah, so listeners,
plus the inevitable Mortal Comedy 3.
Man,
where we finally decide who wins.
Well, if you want to bang for your buck, you'd do Ice Cold Sydney Comedy Showcase.
That's true.
That's the most comedians.
Yeah, dude.
Well, We Ain't Scared of You was 5.
Oh, was it?
Yeah,
oh,
We Ain't Scared of You was 5.
But we were 6, right?
Well, which one has the most people who still do comedy in it, though?
Definitely not. Definitely. We Ain't Scared
of You. Everyone still does comedy in Ice Cold.
Only 3 of us do.
That's true. Yeah, all right. Ice Cold, then. I think people should vote to see Misery Twins.
Well, if people want the most bang for their Hastings buck.
Yeah. Ice Cold Sydney Comedy Showcase.
No.
If you want the most bang for the Hastings buck, then it would be one of the Mortal Comedies or Slumber Party because it's more you.
Or Misery Twins.
Or Misery Twins because Anita doesn't do comedy anymore.
Yeah. Mm. So it would just be emo.
I miss that guy. Yeah, it would just be emo. Well, also, but here's the kicker. Of all my split bills, Ice Cold Sydney Comedy Showcase was the only one that featured Butt Baby.
Fuck.
No, you did Butt Baby in Mortal Comedy 2.
Thank God. Everyone relax.
For a minute, I was like, no. No, wait. You did Butt Baby during emo, too.
Yeah, but we're talking split bills.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
We're
going deep on some Hastings trivia here.
If Sydney hadn't got to see Butt Baby in split bill format,
yeah, exactly.
Shut the whole comedy scene
shut
down.
The whole comedy.
That was probably damn near the show closer of Mortal Comedy 2.
Anyway,
that show was good because I got to hit Hastings in the back with a chair.
Yeah, I also think Mortal Comedy
I don't
was.
I saw that one. I must have seen the first one.
I think.
Yeah, probably.
Mortal Comedy was.
You
the
might
best
have been in Melbourne by the time
maybe.
That was.
I think they're all good. I think they're all works of art that should be judged on their own merits and not even compared. Kind of like Kanye albums.
No, Ice Cold Sydney Comedy Showcase poster was pretty bad.
Oh, I was just talking like the shows entirely. I think they're all like Kanye albums.
Oh, I was saying the poster for Mortal Comedy was good.
I think this podcast is kind of like my Life of Pablo.
The one that signaled the downturn for everything.
I really like Life of Pablo.
Yeah, but isn't that like what people think?
Yeah. Well, Yeezus was his last truly great one.
Yeezus rocks.
I thought Life of Pablo was held up with pretty high regard.
I think it is, but it's kind of like it doesn't have as clear a creative vision.
I think people, because Pablo he kept tinkering with, right?
Yeah.
So when it first came out, people were like, I can't.
Well, he fixed Wolves, remember?
Yeah.
That was the big thing.
Wolves also rocks.
Wolves does rock.
The greatest crime of all is that what I think is the best album, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, was originally meant to be called Good Ass Job.
Man. Let's change
the name
of the podcast.
That would be so much better.
Yeah. All right.
Good Which I think job. It was meant to be like, I did a good ass job. But it just seems so much funnier to read it as good ass job.
Oh,
I didn't even think of it that way.
Yeah.
We have a guest this week, Kate Johnson.
I wanted to get Kate to tell a story, because Kate used to live here where we record this, because the Blast Hole is closed for renovations.
Mm-hmm. It got there was a COVID outbreak.
Yeah.
It's a hot spot.
Yeah, the match of the ocean caught the virus.
Get tested if you've been playing with any of the drills.
Yeah, or have picked up the chess keys. But you used to live here.
Yes.
And quite early after you moved in, because we were just walking up the stairs just now, and you were like, which floor is it on? I'm like, it's the top floor, because you made that mistake in the past.
Once before, only once. I went up. I'd had a few wines, and I actually don't know if this was the same night. There were two separate nights, but this one I went up the third flight of stairs, thinking it was the fourth flight of stairs, knocked on the door.
Didn't you say you tried to stick your key in there?
Yeah, sorry. I tried the key first, and obviously it didn't work because it wasn't my house.
This is like listening to a rugby league player give an apology. No, I thought it was my house. So, yeah, I thought, you know, I didn't, you know, they didn't clearly tell me they weren't my wife. So
watching you come in and tell this story at the time was very funny. So
the key didn't work. And then I knocked, thinking maybe like it's a prank that Rose or Dom have played on me or something.
I'm
like,
I'm knocking like, locksmith to change
let me
the
in,
keys.
Let me in. And then a guy came and answered the door, and it was not either of you.
And no one who looked like they would hang around with either of us.
And he was like, can I help you? And I was like, ha-ha, very funny, thinking that it was a friend of yours. And then I was like, and so I walked into his apartment, and it looked nothing like this. Like, it was really fancy, and I was like,
I'm in the wrong place. And then you had to come upstairs, and I think we were both in the left. And like, I just went into the wrong apartment.
Yeah,
it's humiliating.
Yeah.
I did that during schoolies.
Really?
Yeah. Like, we got just like totaled, and we were just coming back in our elevator, and we got off at the wrong floor, and we just like went in without the keys. We opened it, and we were like just walking around, because like it was dark and it was unlocked, because it's all like the whole building was just fucking 17 and 18 year olds like on free for all. And we're like, why is it so dark in here? Like, where are our friends? Like, there was music playing when we left like a couple of hours ago. And then like we just walked past, and I just remember like my mate Davis being like, someone went surfing today. And I was like, yeah. And then we're like, wait, none of us have surfboards. Just standing there in the dark, like looking at this surfboard, as it became clear, like, this is not the flat that we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
One time I was out for drinks with a girl I was like sort of hooking up with. This is like a few years ago. I really wanted to join, and she bumped into a dude she knew and was like, hey, I've got weed back at my place. You guys, and so I just met this dude. He was like, you guys want to come back smoke some weed at my place? Went back. As we were walking, I was like, I used to sleep with a girl that lived in a house in this street. And then we like walked into that house. And I was like, I used to sleep with a girl who lives in this house. So I took a video of the house and said to the girl, being like, I'm in your old house right now. Like, she'd moved out. The guy was just coincidentally in that house.
For some reason, I thought she was going to pop out of the
cupboard
or something.
I mean, yeah. No. If she still
I went into the same house twice with two completely separate
houses. Yeah, that's weird.
Because if she still lived there, that's like literally the plot to a How I Met Your Mother episode.
Yeah. It wasn't. Yeah. But no.
That's the how he finds the mother.
Yeah, she's his roommate, right?
Yeah.
Her roommate, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you took photos of it more like, remember when we used to...
we're like friends still now and stuff. Cool, like, but I was cool. I was like, I'm in your old place.
Did you try that?
No. It's long. Those days are long gone. No. Not anymore. Those days are behind me.
But really, though?
I mean, I would. I'm not saying I wouldn't, but it's,
I went
know,
to like,
it's not on the table.
When I first went like backpacking, because I obviously lived in Europe for a while, but like when I first came back when I was 18, the first place I went by myself was Portugal. And I got there about 10 hours before my friends were supposed to be there, because I went via England to see my family. And so I was like, so I was supposed to meet them all. And I was supposed to go to like the hostel first, scope things out, you know, find a cool bar where we could go. And it like immediately fell to pieces. Like, it turns out in Portugal, not many people speak English. They all speak this weird language.
I think it's like, Brazilian.
Yeah. Which I just thought was a wax. But so I got on this bus, and like,
wouldn't it be funny if in Brazil people speak Portuguese, but in Portugal everyone got Brazilians?
Yes.
should tweet that.
Just do yours. Just yeah, do, or just doing the maths on that joke.
That's all this podcast is now. It's just fodder for a shitty Twitter feed.
This is the drafts folder of my tweets.
Get back on your phone.
Do you want to check in and see how the tweet's doing?
No, I want to tell my story.
I don't want to hear it's got no likes yet.
All right, tell your story, Jamie.
Yeah, so we went and like I got on this bus and like I made it round to the place. And like, but the building like scared the shit out of me. So like it wasn't like a youth hostel. Like but we didn't know that. I just assumed it would be like, you know, like a shitty hotel. So I went in this building the first time that was supposed to be this place. It's this gigantic, like heavy wooden doors as well. No buzzer. And get in there. Like, the number's outside, but it doesn't even say, like, hostel, blah, 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 whatever its name is. It doesn't say any name outside. You go in, push open the door. It's just pitch fucking black. And so this is before smartphones. So I've got this tiny, like, I think a Sony phone at this point.
Right.
And I'm using
Motorola Razr?
Yeah, I'm using I'm using the screen.
Did you have one of them?
No, but I wanted one. They were the hot thing.
I had a hot pink one.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. I'm using the screen to like try and look around. There's just like the only thing, it's like stone floors and this gigantic like wooden set of stairs.
Sexy.
And so I'm like, all right, like it must be upstairs. I can't see any fucking doors or anything. So I walk like all the way up there, like all the way to the top. Mm-hmm. Like none of the doors have like numbers on them. Or, like, things saying, this is a hostel, this is this place of business. Yeah. They're all just doors.
Hostile? I feel like I'd be about to be murdered.
Well, I also, like, had just seen the movie Hostel.
Oh, right.
Oh, boy.
So I was like, okay, I'm about to die. So, like, checking all of them and stuff, like, trying to get in, just, like, rattling on people's doors. None of them are doing anything.
Pissed and putting...
Just like petrified, carrying a large backpack. Like I came all the way down, like went outside, looked at the number again a couple of times to see if that would do anything, you know, see if that would change it. Did not. The number stayed the same. So I got paranoid, walked around the street a little bit. Then I came back, like full of vim and vigor and was ready to do it. Then went straight back in, pitch black again, got terrified again. But I just started knocking on all the doors. And like... in a state of panic, and eventually I got up to like the second top floor, and like these, like this Indian family, like answered the door, and they looked like kind of sleepy, and like, whoa, what's someone doing knocking on our door? I'm like, I'm so sorry, like, I'm looking for this hostel, and they're like, oh yeah, we're the hostel. And then I was like, oh my god, I'm so worried because there's no name outside, and like everything's pitch black. And then they just kind of reached over and pressed this light, and the whole building illuminated. Next to the door is just like the name of the hostel. And I've been in there for like 40 minutes. Because like before I even started going up the first time, I was just like standing in there like with my backpack on, walking around being like, well, what do I fucking do? Like, well, what happens
turn
if someone...
Turn the light on, Jamie. Like, what do you do?
What happens if someone throws hands?
See, that would have happened to me, except I wouldn't have ever got in because I wouldn't have the courage to knock on the door.
Yeah, you've got to be... I'd have to be at a pretty desperate point.
Well, at that point, I was like, I need help.
Yeah, you're going to, like, die. You have to sleep outside otherwise. Yeah,
I would.
Oh, but then, like, get this. So, like, it ended up, like, getting even more embarrassing. And, like, I'm lucky,
you
like...
You realised I wasn't wearing pants. Well,
that actually did happen later in the night.
Oh, good.
But, like, I so, at that point, I was like, phew. This will make a great story for the fellas. I'll go meet them.
I'll tell them about my new earring. Tell them the story.
Yeah. They're going to love my new earring and kicky outlook on life. So I got the... So now I was like confident. I stopped at an Irish bar. The people spoke English there. And I was like, you obviously get a lot of backpackers. And they're like, yep. And I was like, this rules. Mm-hmm. I'll bring people back to an authentic... Portuguese bar.
Portuguese backpacker
bar. Yeah. Kilkenny's. And so, like, I got the same bus back to the airport, and, like, it takes you there, and it says, like, domestic airport. And I was like, well, I need the international airport. But it just stopped the domestic airport, and I was like, well, I have no fucking idea where the international airport is. Mm. It's, like, there's a sign that says it's somewhere over there. And I kept, like, following, like, the pedestrian path to... like outside to its logical end point. And then there was just nothing. And I was like, well, where is the goddamn airport? So eventually, like, I was just wandering around again for 45 minutes, like, having no clue in the world. And at one point, I crossed a motorway on foot, like, just four lane each side, just like ran across because I was like, this will lead me to. Then walked through like all this grass. And eventually, I thought I'd got there, but it was the domestic airport again.
Oh my God.
I was like, ah, fuck. And like at this, before I was like, I'll get there like 3 hours early, so nothing can go wrong.
Yeah.
I can just watch. At this point, I had like a first generation or second generation, the first iPod that could play videos.
Yeah.
So I'm watching like Gossip Girl on a screen that's like the size of a postage stamp. And I, so I eventually like again was like, I'm going to have to ask someone. And so I was like, I'll go into the domestic airport. And I'll ask someone. I walk into the domestic airport, and right there is a sign that says International Airport upstairs. So all I had to do was watch. So I went up an escalator and I was there. But because I was outside, they were just pointing where cars should go. So I was following that and ended up like walking through a motorway when I could have just gone inside the whole time.
That sounds like a predicament I would get myself into. Like thinking about something way too much.
Yeah, and then like just telling the boys like my local tips, being like, watch out. You might think this is the international airport, but actually that's the motorway.
Yeah, we noted.
I was like, this building might seem scary, but there's a little and then the lights come and they're like, oh, a light switch, huh?
I like that you said in that story. I like when you said that you like hit the door with like full of vim and vigor.
Yeah.
It's like that's just like a real like old school way of just saying like young, dumb and full of cum. It's like the same
full of piss and vinegar.
Yeah.
That's how they said it in the '20s.
Yeah.
The roaring '20s.
Yeah. Should we start talking about this?
Yeah, let's.
Okay, welcome to We'll Just Tell Your Mother We Ate It All, a podcast about teen sex, comedies and things thereabouts and things very much not thereabouts. We are up to episode 7 of our journey through off-center, the cancelled WB sitcom. And I am Rose Piper. You are...
Andrew Hastings, and star of the show.
Jamie Kirk.
And we are joined by a very special guest, former resident of this apartment, very funny comedian, Kate Johnson.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Okay, the first episode of Off Center that we did this week was Addicted to Love. Chow's new girlfriend becomes a hazard to him, gets him involved in fights which result in Chow getting beat up by strangers. Meanwhile, Ewan, Mike and Liz dog sit status quo's canine.
Yeah.
That's how they chose to write that.
Canine.
Well,
that's what they put in the Wikipedia synopsis.
Yeah. So, do you think the writers of the show write the Wikipedia synopsis?
Almost certainly.
For a show for a show like this, probably,
Kate,
right?
Kate, had you heard of this show?
No, never. And now I've just come in on episode 19.
Yeah.
Right.
I think you get
you watched
it. I definitely got it.
You watched the climax of the season. These are the last three episodes of season 1.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It's all building to the big explosive season finale where everything
So is there
which
one
we'll get to.
There's one after
There's so. 7 episodes of season 7
before they pull the plug.
That's
right. season 2.
Oh, season 2. Yeah.
They don't just skip seasons 2 through 6.
But is
I wish they would.
The ones that we watched, was that the finale?
The third the first? One you watched was the last episode of
season
1.
I didn't realise that.
Yeah.
You couldn't tell by the raised stakes?
I could not tell.
We'll get to that later.
This episode sucks, right?
Yeah, it was really bad.
It's like
I like that we get more chow time.
I did like dog farting, because that's funny.
Yeah, dog farting's funny.
But
the other thing is, like, the whole episode... And like Kate is coming into this new. The whole episode is predicated on the fact that like Chow keeps getting beat up by like these people that Shan Elizabeth gets horny for picking fights with people. The episode before it was revealed that like Chow is super strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This he just continually gets his ass. Like I was like, here's a chance for Chow. I was like, it would be much funnier if she
Chow
did
just
it.
Beat the shit out
of him. Yeah, just fucking killed them.
And then there's a warrant out for his arrest for assault.
Yeah.
The point of this is to deconstruct it to figure out what happened?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good. Because I wrote some notes from each episode.
I don't know if we've ever had... We've had very few guests turn up with notes.
I bring this notes to everything, Kate. Everything I do. Look at all of these.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, that's just from beers before.
Yeah. Things to bring up in conversation. It's just like, I hope they reference corn or Limp Bizkit.
I actually, when you were talking about corn and I came in, I thought, oh no, it's going to be on the pod. Like, you're going to talk about corn on the podcast. I'm not going to know what to say.
Yeah.
I actually had heaps of this
episode.
Just
remember you can always chime in and say stained.
Yeah. But that one of them was exactly, I was a pull quote that I put, which I think expresses a lot about the show generally.
Yeah.
That Chow says, farts are funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was an actual thing that he said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I mean, where's the lie? Show me the lie. I don't.
guy getting beaten up and there's a laugh track occurring in the background. That was another part. Can't tell how much time has passed. They say sexy too much. They said sexy so many times.
How many times did they say sexy?
At the beginning, they were kept like, there's a sexy girl over there. Don't you want to get sexy? They kept saying the word sexy. Yeah.
It is weird to say.
Yeah. I love getting kind of sexy sometimes.
I think every now and then you want to be described as sexy, but it feels hard to say. Hey, you're really sexy.
The thing I liked about the first scene, and it's not funny, like it should be funnier for a sitcom, but again, it's like at least trying to show that the three of them are friends and have a long-standing friendship. So they have the thing where they bet on the outcomes.
Because it looks like Mike won, and it turns out they're both scamming Mike.
Well, yeah, yeah. The fact that Chow and Ewan are both in on it is not just like a thing where they've... It seems more lived in, whereas usually... The first few episodes of the show would have played that first thing straight, which is giving it, you know, too much credit.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Probably, right?
But you just... It's funny watching the show. This is the 19th episode.
Yeah.
And you trust it so little at this point.
Yeah.
Because immediately, that first scene with Shannon Elizabeth, you're like, Shannon Elizabeth, she's going to use Kate's favorite word, she's sexy, you know? And then, of course, she likes Chow. So you're just like, where's the joke about her having a penis? And then, like, one minute later.
Immediately.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's just like, here we go.
Yeah. Time to Transphobia was... close to the quickest I think we've had in the show. Probably not the quickest yet.
To be fair, the fact that she's not trans is probably a minor victory.
Yeah, yeah. I reckon.
The fact that she's just crazy, like all women in this show.
Yeah, and in life, obviously.
Yeah. The other thing, did you guys know that Shannon Elizabeth is like a champion poker player?
No.
No.
That's
like
cool.
She's like ranked. Like she's considered like one of the like biggest celebrity poker players in
that's
the world.
Really cool.
Like she's won like hundreds of thousands of dollars for it.
Jesus.
Man, that's so sick.
What else is she in? I don't think I know.
Well, she's in American Pie, because these episodes were replete with guest stars.
Oh yeah. Yes.
But, although one of them probably wouldn't really have been considered a guest star at the time, but
I don't think I've seen her in anything.
Shannon Elizabeth,
like, American Pie,
but
Jane, Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yeah,
I haven't seen her.
She probably deserved to be in more.
My Dreams.
Yeah, she wasn't like she wasn't amazing in this, but she has some kind of comic timing.
Yeah.
Well, let's have a gander at her filmography.
I think she got like really into poker because things were slowing. Because
things weren't going well on the career.
Well, I don't know. Like it seems like she could.
I mean, if you can play, it is a game of skill. Like if you're good at it, you're good at it. Like. Yeah.
But it does seem like out of considering who's in the cast of this show.
Oh,
like,
yeah. She's got a cameo in Love, Actually.
Yeah. But, like, Shannon Elizabeth could, like...
Who is she in Love, Actually?
You know, at the end when, like, Colin Frissell gets back from America and he brings Shannon Elizabeth and Denise Richards with him?
Yes.
Yeah.
It does seem like...
She currently lives in Cape Town, South Africa.
Yeah, because she does charity stuff, I think.
Right, yeah.
But it does seem like she could have fairly ably plugged into any... B-tier, mid-2000 sitcom and been the star of it.
Yeah.
Like, why wasn't there that?
Maybe she was too good at poker.
There's a poker section of her Wikipedia article there.
Man, would you... Like, are you guys any good at poker?
No, I'm not.
Man, I think we should do a poker night.
Famously, I make people mad at poker nights.
I quite like poker. I'd like to
play. I like the idea of it, but, like, I just...
I find poker so fucking lame.
I've been explaining the rules 5 times and I...
It's not a complicated game. You like games. What are you...
I do, but this is, it's first of
you
all,
just have
but
to
I don't get
like
to pretend
things.
That I'm
there's
like
no
a
Japanese,
man with a sword.
Yeah, there's no Japanese
poker.
People with gigantic swords. Where's the spiky hair?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. If I can start getting anime characters onto playing cards, maybe you'll pay attention.
I know how to do three of a kind. I know
how
to do because
it's in the name.
Yeah, I know how to do pair.
Okay.
I know how to do two pair.
Yeah.
After that gets hate.
There's only like four of a kind. There's only like three other, like there's only a handful of other
full house.
Full house, four of a kind, straight, flush, straight flush.
Royal flush.
Royal flush isn't
royal, royal straight.
You don't really, you don't
you
need
You would never get a royal flush.
Okay, royal straight's not a thing.
Okay.
Royal straight.
Straight flush Excuse is what you're me? Thinking of.
A royal,
royal flush is like
a royal
one in 7,000.
Royal flush is a straight flush. It's just
yes.
the highest.
Yes.
The
royal
highest
flush is barely a hand. It's just the highest possible straight flush.
Ace kicker.
That's not really a hand. It's just...
No.
I don't even know what that is.
High nines.
It's like if you had two people had the same hand and whoever had a higher...
But I've got an ace kicker.
Don't you say 10 high nothing? Or Ace High Nothing?
I don't know what you'd say. Like, I'm not like, but you'd be like, it's if you
you're
have,
wearing the hat. I just feel like you know what to say.
If you have nothing, if you don't have anything that can make up a hand, your highest card is your hand.
Yeah.
So like, if you can't get a pair, then if you, but you have an ace, it's like ace high. Like the
right.
Nothing means you don't have a real hand.
There's no, I see. Yes,
yeah,
yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. If in that context, I think.
See, he did know.
Yeah.
There you go.
So
it's a very simple game.
Did anyone think that like the dog storyline was really like 1970s sitcom? Or just like, oh no, the dog died. What do we do?
I hated it so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget. It might have been in one of the later episodes, but is the dog storyline the one where Mike explicitly is like, this is like a scene from every sitcom?
Yes. Yeah. He references, no, because they say they're going to buy another dog that looks like it.
He references a bunch of sitcoms that I think he might be too young for, but the writers clearly grew up with. Like Welcome Back Cotter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. I remember that. Because I loved Welcome Back Cotter. So
same,
when he said that,
I was checking the, because I was kind of checking the ages. And like, if he
Doing
was
honorary
like.
Honorary sweat hog.
Like, if he was that big a fan, I think he would have been a little older.
Yeah.
Because like, he would have. As a 25-year-old in 2000, he would have been born around 1975. So it would have been just...
Yeah. Also, like, I watched a bunch of Welcome Back, Cotter.
Yeah,
I'm
same.
Sure.
32 in 2020.
31. Man. I'm turning 30 next month.
Oh.
It's pretty crazy.
It's over for you.
So it's going to just have probably just going to have to be a lockdown birthday.
Do you think so?
I had a birthday in a complete lockdown.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah, that's rough. Said it about.
Spoke to all of you on the video phone that day.
My birthday's in 20 days.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll go to the party.
You might just be able to sneak one in before we get shoved back inside.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean,
20 days.
Maybe don't.
Might push people. Yeah, might just push people to go to Everly instead.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell people to get me a cowboy hat.
No,
you
don't
should.
Need one.
You should just become like that UFC
oh,
guy.
Yours.
Yeah,
it's actually mine. It's a
Dominic Cowboy Cerrone.
Cowboy Hastings.
Yeah.
Cowboy Hastings.
He fought Conor McGregor and was also famously in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't done either of those things, but I could.
He also famously said...
I just wouldn't necessarily do a good job.
In It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, he also said the immortal line, I just puked on my own dick.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Which sounds like something Hastings would say.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm trying to find relatable
things.
I'm searching
the memory banks.
Between him and famous people.
I think I've probably gotten vomit on my penis, yeah.
But not yours.
Are you implying that I'm gay, Rose?
What?
No.
I said, are you implying I got vomit on my penis? And you said, oh, right, not your vomit.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying I was sucking a dude's dick.
No.
What? No.
No, I've never gotten someone else's vomit on my penis. I think I've probably just like in the shower or something, probably, you know.
Throwing up on your own.
I'm not
kind of like on, but just like maybe like a fleck.
I'm not
going
to go accusing that too. I've sucked more dicks than you.
Alrighty.
One to zero.
I sucked my own dick.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
No, I
tried.
No,
you didn't successfully do it on stage. Were you there for that?
I was, and yeah, my little brother was also there for that.
Oh, no.
Oh,
your little brother who like wanted to get into comedy.
I remember, no, this was my youngest brother, and I remember I was at Fuck Club, and I'm like, oh, this is a fun night. Like, it's a bit crazy.
This is my friend Andrew going up.
And then
it's
you
the first
went
one
up,
at this new place.
You did it, and I was like,
he's a bit
controversial. Hastings. I said something like that. And now whenever I mention you and that little brother's there,
you should
he's
remind
like, oh, the guy who tried to suck his own dick on stage. I'm like, yeah.
Good. I'm that guy forever to him now.
I felt bad for you because like we'd lived together and like you would have never accidentally seen me naked but then just did at Fuck Club.
Yeah.
I've seen, a lot of nudity at Fuck Club.
Yeah. It got too much.
I might have to change my name.
You already tried that.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, I know. I tried to get like a work name going because I wanted to whatever, but it all kind of like fell apart.
Oh, a stage name or a non-comedy work name?
And a stage name equivalent for the workplace.
For the like an office name.
They can't look up like
yeah,
stuff.
So if they type in my real name.
I'm Kim at work. Still
really?
People who think my name is Kim.
Oh, fuck, I'm jealous.
But like on purpose though, or you just let them think
Oh,
that?
Now just, it's too late in the piece.
My uncle, his name's Dave, he had that where like this guy was just calling him Steve for like 2 years or whatever. And then like... that guy was just kind of walking past and someone was like, oh, Dave. And he's going, yeah. And then he just saw his eyes go like, oh, no.
What have I done?
I've been calling him Steve for 2 years. I've
been calling her Crandall.
It's a famous Friends plotline too, I believe.
Which episode is that?
Someone calls Chandler another name. And at the end, Chandler makes it. I believe he's another guy. And it culminates with them both trashing Chandler.
It's also a Seinfeld episode.
Yeah.
It's Susie. You know?
Yes.
Yeah, same story.
And look at us. Four mics just referencing...
Name one of the six.
Actually,
Welcome back, Connor.
Rose, if you were... Yeah, I'll ask the whole room. If you were one of these characters on this show, who would you be? I can't believe I haven't asked that question yet.
Oh, yeah, I can't believe we have done that.
Status quo.
No. You're a classic Ewan.
I'm a status quo.
Yeah, I think I'm Liz.
No, I'm...
Like the party pooper.
I'm the black one.
Yeah, I'm definitely that Liz character. So the Monica.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah, two Liz's.
What do you...
I'm the Gunther of my friend group.
What do you think?
I'm status quo without the stage.
Oh, yeah. I reckon you might be
status quo,
actually.
But not just...
Without the rap.
You're definitely you.
Without that hip-hop.
But you're still a performer.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Just imagine that the performing is me.
Status quo is white anyway, so like...
Yes, yeah. It's very...
John Wayne.
Mm.
You are Ewan.
So, yeah, you are Ewan.
Don't fight it.
Is he Ewan or is he Chow?
No, he's Ewan.
Whichever character is sexiest.
So Liz.
Shannon Elizabeth.
Maybe a Chow.
I'm Shannon Elizabeth.
I think he's Ewan maybe with a bit of Chow.
Ewan cross Chow.
Yeah. What are you? Because you're not Mike.
No.
Because Mike's more of a prick and a sad
Mike
sack.
Mike just sucks.
Yeah, he sucks.
He's a terrible protagonist.
Yeah, he's awful.
Yeah, because usually I'd be like, yeah, straight man. Like with this crazy cast of characters.
Yeah.
I'm Ice Cube in XXX2.
Shut up.
What?
How do I mute him?
Maybe you're like Eugene Levy in the next episode.
Yeah, I cut people's foreskins. So that's my job on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's do that episode. What a neat little segue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sorry, I've got this new phone and it's a pain in the ass to... Okay, the second episode was The Unkindest Cut. Ewan is teased by Mike and Chow for having a foreskin. That's a funny line.
Leave Brittany alone.
That's quite funny. Yeah.
That's my Brittany alone moment. Leave Ewan's foreskin alone.
Well, I've got plenty to say about that.
I've actually got more to say about it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. Ewan makes an appointment.
Saying I have a bigger dick.
Yeah, I got that. You don't. And I'm a woman, so sucked in. Ewan makes an appointment with a urologist who has a bizarre sense of humor when it comes to circumcision. Not really.
This is the best episode of the season. And like,
yes,
to me, it's not
Eugene
Levy.
I agree.
Eugene Levy being in it is a huge...
Is this his first appearance?
Fucking
yes. Yes. He's in one more episode next season.
Hold on, Kate, did you suspect that there was a reoccurring character in this show of a foreskin doctor?
There is. He pops up in another episode
back.
In season 2.
Oh, wow.
Two.
Okay, I take it back.
I also liked this because this had another recurring character of Jordan.
Yes.
Who is good. Like, she's good comedy value.
This one, it became apparent to me that this show needs a second woman added to the cast.
Yes. And
someone
would
for
be
Liz
good.
To bounce off without them wanting to have sex with her or thinking that she's the worst person in the world.
You want the show to even have a chance at passing the Bechdel test.
Yeah. To explain to Kate, Jordan is Liz's roommate who...
That girl that came in.
Yeah. She'd been in one episode before where she had sex with Chow because they both say what they think all the time.
She's like decided psycho, that they... right? That's kind of the deal?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't... But I think it's like kind of like... harmless,
yeah, whatever.
Crazy.
It's a sitcom, it's
but I think it's all still like
not,
women
you know,
are nuts.
Science of the Land.
Yeah, there's
so
definitely a bit of that.
She's only in one other episode before this one.
Yeah, which was like 2 episodes ago.
Okay. So I just missed that.
So, and it kind of ignores the whole thing with her and Chow as well. Like here, she just wants.
Well, they
to
did
see
say at the end of that episode where they were like, "We're just friends now."
But they didn't interact at all in this episode.
Yeah.
However, this episode is still the best episode of the season, but it's almost solely because of Eugene Levy.
Oh, yeah.
Who kind of sells pretty bad jokes that are still okay.
Eugene Levy's a talent.
I love Eugene Levy.
Like, and he clearly says yes to everything.
Yeah.
And then...
Got to make that paper.
Yeah,
just is the highlight of all of them.
Yeah, I mean...
Some people just love money.
This also
I started watching Schitt's Creek. It's quite good.
Yeah, Schitt's Creek rules.
You know, usually there's one of these guys where it's like you just can't stop this guy from working.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. Like a real Shane Jacobson type. Like that guy can't not work. Like
Vince Colosimo.
Yeah, that's
illegal
true.
To not put in your.
I thought you were going to say an Andrew Hastings type, really, and this shows how far you've grown as a person.
Thanks, thanks, brother.
But also, like one thing we were talking last episode about how off center. We think it's better when it shies away from the American Pie, like poo-poo, pee-pee stuff, and delves more into, like, sometimes sitcom absurdism stuff.
Yeah.
I would lobby that in, like, if you did a future season, the naked gym where they all hang out, which was in another episode where they're, like, all obsessed with nudity, that should just be, like, their version of Central Perk.
Oh, yeah. Like, I,
just naked
in every
episode.
Yeah, where they're always, like, hanging out naked.
Absolutely agree.
Yeah, anytime you need boys' exposition, you put them in the locker room.
There are very few comments because we did we say that on the episode? Is we like anyone can watch these? They're all on YouTube for free, yes. Which is what we do. So every now and then I go and look at the very few comments that are on there. And like,
yeah.
One of the
yeah,
people
these
being
ones
like,
are great.
"These ones are great." They're just like you can see the beige underwear.
People are
they're not even really naked.
People are like, checking to see if you can get a peep at Sean Maguire's ding dong.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does he really have a foreskin?
Also, Sean Maguire's like decent in this episode.
Yeah.
I think what the real crime is the shaming, you know, like the three of us should be more concerned about is the damage this does to like people's opinions on foreskin.
Well, that's
community.
What I wanted to talk about is like even at this time. It wouldn't have been considered weird
no,
to have a foreskin.
It absolutely would have been.
Really?
In the US,
in America,
100%.
Yes.
It's all still right. Very much like...
In America, like, it's going down now, but if
yeah.
you were
it's
to,
still like,
9
out of 10.
If you were to go
really?
Down yeah. there and without warning someone put in, they would have been like, They probably would have been like, gross! Like,
yeah.
But they might have been like, different.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Right. Whereas fucking... It's weird over here if you do.
Well, also I think like the... politics coming into it now is that like stop doing it so much unless it's like a
yeah.
Jewish thing.
Well,
oh yeah, it's like medically worse for
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Oh, I'm like pretty staunchly against circumcision unless it's like medically necessary. But like I was thinking about like you know how like the like legalizer guys, it's like it's the only thing they care about and it's like pretty transparent why.
Yeah.
That's like me with the like guys, we should not be circumcising babies. Guys,
they actually
please.
They actually look better.
Yeah.
I had a friend get adult circumcised.
I know
really?
Two people got out. A guy I used to live with got adult circumcised.
Where like their foreskin's like tightening up and
yeah,
they
like
had
a
to.
Pretty much everyone
yeah.
I know who yeah.
Yeah. Well, why else would you get it? You have to be like,
I've heard of
I mean
people...
I was about to say you'd have to be incredibly vain, but I'm gonna get my entire dick turned inside out
yeah.
into
my,
a vagina. So.
My friend got he
Yeah, it's so funny
converted.
For you to be like, that's so crazy
hey,
that they get
now?
That done.
He converted to Judaism.
Oh right.
And had an adult circumcision after.
So he did he have a bris as an adult?
Everything, yeah.
Oh man.
Thing.
Did the rabbi do it with his teeth?
What?
That's like a thing they do
that's
in like some like hardcore
thing, yeah.
like Hasidic
oh,
communities.
No, I don't
like
think so.
It's like very hardcore.
No, I don't
like,
think so.
Yeah,
I didn't
suck
know
the baby dick. It's horrible.
Wow, that I've never heard that.
I actually respect yeah. other religions, so I'm not going to say anything bad about it.
That's intense.
Yeah, dude, yeah. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah,
I don't know anyone that's got it done aesthetically.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've heard of it, but I've never met anyone. Because I think what happens is a lot of guys just start watching porn when they're 9, and then they get like weird like dysphoria shit because they like think that's how dicks are supposed to look or whatever.
Yeah, because uncircumcised penises in porn quite rare.
Yeah,
and like if you see them,
that's why I watch Italian porn.
Yeah, well, it's always like a British person being like, "Look at my willy."
But also, if they're not like. If they're uncircumcised in porn, they just pull it back. You wouldn't really know.
I suppose so.
I actually look at the women when I watch porn. I don't know about you.
What kind of porn
fucking
are you
getting
you
into?
I don't really do porn.
Yeah. I can't imagine...
What do you do, like spreadsheets?
I feel like you would. I feel like you probably would have watched, like, what, less than an hour of porn in
probably.
Your lifetime?
I think
I just
Kane's,
don't...
I think Kate's more into memos.
Yeah.
stat decks. post-it notes.
Hit points.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know how to access most of it, I reckon.
Yeah, you just sort of like
I'd
open
Google
up the calculator
yeah,
on the computer. It's like
you're doing the
porn
like 10-year-old like Googling boobs.
Yeah.
Boobs XXX.
Yeah.
Kate just writing naughty videos in Google and laughing to herself and rubbing her palms. Be like,
giggling at Benny Hill clips.
Here we go. And it's a Family Guy supercut.
I feel like you'd be more tentative and you'd write like penis with a question mark.
Putting sorry in your porn search. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Two people having sex, sorry.
Sorry, Mum.
That's pretty funny. I don't know, dude. I just think that it is kind of weird how they're like, they don't really shy away from like being like, nah, foreskins are yuck. As a foreskin owner, I was pretty offended.
Yeah, but
I feel like it would have been kind of like unproductive for people who did. They'd be like, oh, I feel like a freak.
Well, this was the most controversial episode, I think, when it aired.
Maybe but we
I
are think, minorities.
I think this got like some notes from the dreaded like Parents Television Council.
Oh, we can look in the controversy segment on the Wikipedia article.
Because I know that they like, they don't really wield power, but when they do get up in arms about something, for some reason people seem to care,
there
even though
this
it means next to nothing.
Dungeons and Dragons movie that came out in the 80s that they got on board with, and it just got cancelled. The whole thing was like taken off air.
Yeah.
They're very powerful, though.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, unusually.
Nancy
so.
Reagan and shit, dude.
I'll just read this whole thing. Controversy. This is the controversy segment on the Wikipedia article. While it aired, the show was controversial for its raunchy content, as topics addressed include threesomes, circumcision, pornography, and masturbation.
Oh, my.
The show faced pressure from watchdog groups such as the Parents Television Council, which voted off-center the second worst show for family viewing in 2002. It's not a family viewing show. The New York Post printed a memo from WB's Standards and Practices Department to the creators of the show that stated, "It is essential to reduce and or modify the significant number of uses of penis, testicles, foreskin, as well as euphemisms for the same, such as your thingy," the memo says in part. It also orders the...
You just said memo and Kate's like, wow.
On board.
Raunchy.
Oh, boy.
Now I'm rubbing my fingers together. It also orders the exclusion of such references as covered wagon, unit...
Covered wagon?
Hang on, these are getting better too. Turtleneck, little fella, anteater, diddy, cloaking device, and my pig is still snugly wrapped in his doughy blanket.
Yeah, so these are all from that.
It's all from this thing. It says the episode which dealt with circumcision, The Unkindest Cut, came under fire because of its treatment of the character Ewan, who is British and has not been circumcised. The procedure is not routine, it is uncommon in Europe, and blah, 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 as well as the general treatment of uncircumcised men in general.
But he does come to terms with it at the end, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. But only when a really hot woman tells him that he's being vain.
Let's his freak flag fly, dude. That's what I think.
He's a freak on a leash. What was the B plot in this episode?
Was there one? Was Chow doing anything?
It was. I wrote a note that this episode was entirely about a penis.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, I can't remember anything else happening in this episode. But it feels unusual for there not to be at least like a Mike and Liz being a bitch.
Do you think in the Adam and Eve story, the snake is a metaphor for the penis?
He gets tanned and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
Mike,
that's the one. Yeah,
Mike's
hot.
Did I just solve theology?
No.
Do you think snake and Adam and Eve?
I didn't hear you, but I doubt it. That's why no one. I didn't hear you, but I doubt it.
It's a story about temptation. So it's like a snake and an apple. These are all pretty sexual things.
Yeah, apples, so sexual.
I think it's a metaphor for sex. They also don't wear clothes until after they eat the apple when they develop shame. I think it's about
but
a penis.
But isn't that like well known? Like
no, the snake's... generally people think the snake's like the devil. That's like kind of the normal interpretation. It like represents like original sin and evil.
I was going to say it's original sin.
It's original sin is eating the apple, yeah.
Oh, I thought the snake represented original
sin.
Well,
it kind of does.
But he comes out of...
Like
yeah.
he is the manifestation of that or whatever. But I think it's a dick. That's my take.
Okay, so...
So the Mike subplot
is Mike putting in an effort for
and
Liz.
He's going to a Snoop Dogg thing?
No, they were going to a dinner with Status Quo
at the Russian Tea Room.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
And then they had the gala or whatever after that.
This is like, Mike is a... Like, I know Mike sucks, and we've been through this so many times, but like, Mike is not meant to be, you know, stupid.
Mm.
Like, he went to Oxford University... Presumably on a scholarship because he's poor in this show.
Does he work?
He
Do
works.
Any of them work?
He used to work with Liz at like an animal rights charity, but quit because it wasn't like his passion.
Now, yeah,
and I think it's implied that he's just kind of done odd jobs.
Yeah, now he's doing odd jobs.
The next episode.
Ewan is paying for the bulk of the stuff because his investment banking firm pays for the apartment. and also pays him rather handsomely.
I was wondering how they lived in that crazy apartment.
It's insane. It's like somewhere Woody Allen would live.
A huge relocation
Of $20 million.
Okay, yeah, which they would give a 25-year-old.
To live in a loft penthouse in fucking
New
York.
There's a pool table in there. Yeah. There's like a little billiard room.
It would be like a $10 million fucking apartment.
A hotshot investment banker.
That didn't make sense.
Who's had gonorrhea multiple times.
Yeah. To be fair, that would be a lot.
I'm kind
of
like that, but without
bankers.
The I'm kind
of
like that, but without the investment banker part.
Yeah.
So Mike, so Mike went to Oxford University, presumably on a scholarship because he can't afford that place. But then, like, he still thinks like Russian tea room, he can get away with dressing like that,
like a proper schlub,
like a child, essentially. Yeah. Like he's wearing like three collared shirts on top of each other, and a t-shirt underneath, being like, "What's wrong, Liz? Why are you mad at me again?" You know, it's so like,
he hates having a girlfriend.
Yeah, it's like break him up, like set him free. Like Mike could be interesting. Get him hit by a subway car or something. Make it change someone else as the main character of the show. Let Liz do something cool. But like the fact that like Liz melts over the fact that he chose to wear a suit and still didn't because he like got comically burned.
Yeah.
But like
which does beautifully dovetail with Eugene Levy's plot. So there is that.
Yeah, that's true. Just trying to I did kind of like the thing of like everyone knows him.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny.
Oh yeah, I thought everything.
I
thought Eugene Levy's first scene in the gym was also great because you could see that he was also soaking up how many people loved him from American Pie.
I was thinking about this though, which is quite funny, is because like this is obviously canned laughter, so like when he enters, they get the canned laughter to be like woo and like everyone cheering him, and he's standing there like soaking it up to no one.
I would assume there was some kind of minimal live studio audience that got beefed up while...
Oh, it was probably just the cast who were like, we're going to put this in... Oh, not the cast, like the crew.
Yeah, but he looked like he was having a good time.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really know how things work.
Too many times, like, not enough people look like they're having a fun time filming this show.
Oh, yeah, they like a lot of them look like they're having the worst time of their life.
Like, John Cho looks like he's having an alright time, but he's saddled with something bad.
Yeah.
Status Quo gets nothing to do.
Yeah.
Mike sucks.
Yeah.
Ewan...
Should be the Chow show.
Yeah, really.
Really.
But, I mean, that Ewan kind of is getting better, maybe... Like, they're definitely a lot less like, oh, man, can you believe Ewan had sex with the hottest woman in the world again plots?
Yeah.
Like, well, at least Ewan, there are some that challenge his vanity. And,
well,
like,
Ewan was sort of a sympathetic character for a change in this episode. So.
Yeah, and a couple of the episodes previously. What do you think of
I didn't think he was a bad guy, but I haven't seen... I've literally only seen these three episodes.
Yeah.
Mm. He's pompous, obviously, but I didn't think you meant to hate him or anything.
So or you're definitely not meant to hate him, but you...
Oh, but I hate all the characters
I think
in the show.
You're meant to think he's a cheeky chappy.
But yeah, that's what we've always said.
Obviously, I'd assume you hate Mike the most.
Probably, because he's...
Mike's the most
anything,
deeply unlikable.
He's not anything at all.
Yeah, he's just an absolute loser. He's like a loser and not a nice guy.
Yeah. And his collection of like tics and quirks are all deeply unpleasant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they're all like...
He's deeply selfish, like...
Like, yeah, in the hands of... Like, a better, like, more introspective writer could be, like, a good thing, like, examination of, like, toxic masculinity. Like, a guy who, like, can't feel comfortable opening up to his friends, being new with his friends. Like, a kind of, like, a guy who, like, can't feel comfortable with his girlfriend doing anything but being, like, completely subservient to him.
Mm.
Like, the idea, this is skipping ahead, but, like, that fucking last episode with him lying about the job is ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, he's
also
like
because he's
so
given so many times to just be like, hey, yeah, like, just say you're doing this thing because she's already like, hey, man, like, if we're going to be honest, like, let's do it.
Yeah.
And he continually... And is that because they think that's funny? Like...
Yeah.
Because there's not many laughs out of it.
It's like something out of Frasier. It's like that.
Yeah.
Oh, we know that dramatic irony. We know something that she doesn't, and it's meant to build tension, but it just is uncomfortable.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's like that. Should I do that, or are we finished talking about PP Doc?
PP Doc is the funniest episode of the season, I think.
Yeah.
Close to what was my other favorite one? Mission Impossible.
Yeah, that was all right. Because Status finally got some fucking
Status gets a bit to do in this episode.
This is true. Okay, yeah, so true. This is the final episode of season one. It's called Diddler on the Roof. Oh, this is a long little synopsis. Ewan worries about breaking up with one of MTV's The Real World cast members when he begins to think she will badmouth him on national television. To get her out of his life, Ewan sets up a plan to have Chow steal her away from him. Mike lands a dream job of doing the sound for porn movies, but he becomes upset when he thinks Liz is hooking up with Status Quo while he works nights. This is like up there with the most unlikable that Mike has been.
Yeah.
I think this is the most unlikable
yeah,
it has been.
Probably.
He lies a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a horrible liar, deeply selfish, like self-serving.
My ears are burning.
Keeps fucking, keeps fucking him ruin the shot in gay porn by falling onto the bed.
Yeah, losing his keys. Also, you know, when...
How do the keys keep ending up on that guy's penis?
Well, this is definitely like a suspension of disbelief thing. But like the average key ring, right? Wouldn't fit over a penis.
No.
So that guy must have the thinnest dick, or he's got a comically oversized.
I agree with that statement.
Yes. Never would, never tried, never succeeded.
Not where I keep my keys, that's for sure. Like a glove.
It was funny how they kept calling it porn movie. Maybe that was the thing.
Well,
of the time.
Kate Johnson wrote this script.
Sounds like something I would say.
Or
I would Google.
You'd say like pornography movie.
Pornography film.
Pornography
please.
Film, yeah.
One Stat. Adult,
pornographic film.
One adult film.
It is a shame that they don't say pornos more because it's always funniest to porno refer to them as pornos. Funnier. Yeah.
Kate Johnson typing porn movie into Google, then they're like, oh, better go make a cup of tea.
So this one is the first kind of episode where any kind of dramatic stakes are raised, where they introduce the idea that maybe Status Quo and Liz
better suited to each other.
Yeah, and like have both at least thought about it.
Mm.
In their spare time.
Well, they do at the end.
Yeah, but like I think that implies as well that they've both already been like, maybe. Because like Liz is like cultured and knows stuff. Hmm. Although the show doesn't really, you know, imply that much.
Yeah,
it's more just like Liz wants to go to a fucking Broadway. What a bitch, dude. Like, let Mike just watch the real world.
How dare she want to take advantage of living in New York City?
It's like when like Mike's like, yeah, I don't want to go. That's gay. And you're like, they probably cost like $150.
Yeah, it's a show on
and,
Broadway.
Like,
Broadway
is,
waited
like,
in line forever.
Yeah. And Broadway's like magic. Like, it's so good.
No matter what.
It's
you
so
see.
Fucking sick to go, yeah.
And he's a.
Has anyone been to a Broadway show?
I've never been to America.
I've seen. The Book of Mormon on Broadway.
Oh shit, original cast?
No. Yes, with Josh Gad and Andrew Reynolds.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fuck, that would have been good.
That's awesome.
And I've seen SpongeBob SquarePants.
I heard that was meant to be really good.
Fucking rules.
Yeah, I've heard it's really good.
I got
good.
A little sippy cup.
Is it like based on the movie or is it an original story?
It's like an original story because they don't like dress in like costumes and stuff. So SpongeBob SquarePants is just kind of like a nebbishy dude who's like, hello.
Yeah,
he's not like got a big... Like
he's not wearing a yellow rectangle.
Exactly. Yeah. He's just like a normal dude. I went to a matinee show to see it and it was still sold out. And then I went to see I took a train to New Jersey to see post hardcore band Thursday play.
Oh,
it was one of the
what
best
day for you.
Was one of the best days of my life. I dragged my
SpongeBob musical and then your favorite band.
Well, so yeah, like it was kind of a one for me, one for my just married to me wife.
This was with Amy.
Yeah, because we'd got married like maybe like 2 weeks before, and I was like, "Can you believe Thursday going to be playing at like an?" Oh, it was also like. Their New Year's show. So it would have been
They're also from Jersey, like keep in mind.
Yeah,
so
it was like
their,
so it was their homecoming show. And I was like, can you believe this? And she was like...
Seeing Jersey.
Yeah.
Jersey.
Well, she was just like, we're going there, aren't we? And I was like, you bet your ass we're going.
Yeah, was that Amy's first time seeing Thursday?
Oh, yeah.
Because me and Jamie have also gone to see Thursday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I take all my loved ones to see Thursday.
I quite like the band Thursday, though, is the difference.
Did she enjoy it more than she thought she would?
She really liked the band Pup, who supported.
Oh, Pup are fired. Yeah.
She also like it was a curious show.
Pup's a bit more accessible than Thursday.
Well, Thursday she liked
a little less depressing.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, like, it took a while for Thursday to come on. She liked Thursday, but obviously she's not going to be like, let's get in the fucking pit and watch.
Yeah, not like when you went with Hastings.
Yeah, so she was
I don't
like,
know, I could see Amy thrown down.
Well, so she kind of like wanted to stand back and also like, because Thursday is kind of like people my age. It turns out there are a lot of like people a bit older than me who were like there to see Thursday, and they're 8-year-old to 13-year-old kids. Where they're the
coming with them.
Well, they were there to see the support band called Frank Iero and the Patients.
Oh, finally.
Who is the guitarist from My Chemical Romance. So it was a bunch of fucking shitty, snot-nosed kids.
MCR are like good friends with like Jeff and Thursday and stuff.
And they were all like, running around being like, can you believe Frank Iero's here? And like they were like, and then like a lot of old people been like, you shush, Thursday coming on in but an hour and 30 minutes, you know? But they were really good. They did like a countdown thing and the confetti fell from the air and stuff. But then also like it was fucking like, it was in Stalin Ballroom in New Jersey, which I'd never been to before. We got like a, we stayed in like a, like a Motel 6 because I'm really obsessed with like shitty motels and stuff and franchises.
Super.
And I thought it would be real cool. And but like Stalin Ballroom's kind of in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Right.
Like it's opposite a VFW hall, which is where like old war veterans go to hang out. Kind of like an RSL.
Mm. But like a shit RSL.
Yeah, and it's like it's New Jersey in the middle of December, so it was like -20.
Shit.
And like we're like rugged up like dying of, and like there are people there just in like shirts, like
spicy.
Just but like once we finished, like we like most people drove there, we didn't have a car, we didn't have, so we like called Ubers and we had to like wait there for like, and you could see Amy's mood draining as it happened, be like, and but you could see
Happy New Year,
but she was also trying to be like really and be like, I know that meant a lot to you, but like with a very like, it was like a knife edge, like I know it meant a lot to you, but if we don't get home soon, but like eventually I called some cab company and we got saved by someone.
I
was sick.
What did you say on Broadway?
Matilda.
This is Tim Minchin.
Tim Minchin,
yeah.
This was in like 2013, 2014.
Yeah.
Matilda's great.
So good.
I think I saw it at the Star City theater.
Yeah.
I rewatched the movie Matilda the other night because I was feeling really depressed.
It's such a good movie.
It helps.
Yeah. Miss Honey could get it.
Oh, fuck.
Like,
yes,
right,
she could.
She's for sure could, right?
She's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
She's really pretty.
Yeah, I've seen her, like, gift and stuff on Twitter, but there's a bit where she, like, takes her glasses off.
People call her Miss Honey, but she's Miss Honey.
Yeah. I'd do a pun, but it's I haven't thought of it yet, but I can tell you.
I thought you were
going to
say
Miss
Cunny or something like that.
Yeah,
it'd be, like, something pretty unspeakable.
I was assuming Miss Cummy as well, actually.
Oh, I said Cunny.
Oh, I thought it was
like
Cunny.
Like, Cunny juices or something.
It would be worse than both of them put together. Whatever it is. I don't even know
what I was
going to
get up Rose.
I would still blame it on Hastings. I was just like, he's responsible.
He incited it somehow.
Miss Butt Baby. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That's a good one.
If like Miss Honey was real,
and
she was like, my kink is repeating Andrew Hastings' jokes.
Yeah.
Which one would you want her to repeat?
All right.
Like, which one would
hypothetical.
Which one would get you both off?
Is in a world where the character from Matilda, Miss Honey,
yes,
is sexually aroused by doing stand up comedy.
And she's real.
By doing it or by hearing you do it?
By doing it herself.
She does it herself.
Okay.
But she asks Hastings, what bit should I do?
Yeah. Okay. Well,
should I give you a bit of secretly fat? Like,
Yeah.
I have actually been waiting for you to ask this, Jamie. We all knew this question was coming.
She pulls out
an how you treat family.
Yeah, she pulls out an agnostic poem from her pencil skirt.
An agnostic poem?
It's a poem about how I doubt the existence of God.
I'm not completely convinced.
I've got a pretty good new bit about punching walls that if the audience want to come out and see, they should come.
You're not getting Miss Honey to do a new bit.
Oh, I forgot to do that in the last episode, but one of our listeners, Danielle, came down to Everly.
Oh, yeah,
so shout out to you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
she was cool.
Sorry, I couldn't be there.
She's very nice.
She did.
I wasn't performing.
She asked about you.
Yeah?
It was the only thing she said.
Yeah, cool.
Where's Hastings?
Finally. See, the fans of this pod get it. They kind of get what this pod's about. No?
We've already done this bit with you as well.
No, that is what she said.
I think we did this bit live in person. He had the same reaction. Yeah. So. Just in case you think this is a character.
Yeah, absolutely.
Andrew Hastings occasionally breaks character to reveal the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So outside the pod, I'll go, all right, guys, I'm going to just be serious for a second. I meant every word.
Where is my store spot?
Absolutely. Yeah, man, it's all good.
Yeah, but which Miss Honey bit?
Oh, good question. I'd probably get her to do the soft boy bit. That's a classic.
You think that's a classic?
Yeah.
That's kind of new for you, though.
Mm. That's like a year old now.
Yeah, but I was like, I
guess it's like a bit of an old faithful. Like it's kind of an evergreen bit.
I guess you wouldn't want a super old bit of yours. Yeah, like if you had to hear your own comedy back.
Yeah, I don't actually like Butt Baby at this stage. I wrote it like 5 years ago.
Yeah, but like Hastings was doing hours at this stage. Like if I was talking about like something 5 years ago, I wouldn't like even be close to an hour.
Mm.
Yeah. I guess I do just generate a lot of content.
Yeah, man. Yeah, dude.
Good
That's
work.
That's kind of what we're saying here.
Well done.
Yeah.
All right.
You cracked it.
I did, dude.
We should talk more about this episode. Zachary Quinto.
Yeah.
Playing bisexual Bob or whatever his name was.
Yeah. Right? I kind of like the reveal that he was just bisexual for the clout. Because that does make sense to me, even though it's kind of like not woke.
Well, I was like oh, wow, like actually being weirdly cool about like bisexuality and this, and then at the end he's just like, oh, yeah, you know, I'd just rather get...
Yeah, that is like
he could still be bisexual, but probably the implication was that he was not. But also, like,
classic bi erasure.
It also does make sense to me based on, like, real-world cast members from, like, that era.
Yeah.
Also, like, Zachary Quinto, like, famously gay.
Yeah, but very much not out at that point.
No, he wasn't. The reveal that he hated animals did make me chuckle. And so did Ewan kicking the fucking thing off the roof.
Oh, yeah. Well, if someone said rat, like, I don't know, what would you do first? I probably would, like...
I'd scream.
I don't think I would scream. I think I'd, like... But I wouldn't kick. I'd, like, jump in the air.
Yeah.
So I didn't... Because, like, have you ever had a rat run across your foot? They're heavy and it feels weird.
Yeah, I've had mice, not rat. Yeah, I had a mice run across.
I had a rat outside of scuba.
I've had a dead mouse under my bed once.
I saw a dead mouse once.
was
he wearing
that
helmet?
Yeah.
That's sick as hell.
Do you think he takes the helmet off to fuck?
No.
Was he married to Kat? Wasn't he married to Kat Von D?
Really?
Was he?
Dead mouse.
Wasn't someone famous dating Kat Von D for a while?
Yeah, a few people, but one of them was dead mouse. But
why haven't you dated Kat Von D?
I did. Okay. 18 months of my life gone, wasted to that woman.
It seems like you would have.
Yeah, it does. Seems like I would have dated legend Kat Von D.
It just seems like something you'd want to do.
No, Kat Von D was dating...
Didn't she date like someone really like...
She dated
someone
super famous. Then she dated the guy we were just talking about, Deadmau5.
Did she date Jesse James, the guy who married Sandra Bullock for a while?
No, I don't think so. She had someone really famous before Deadmau5.
Okay, surely you must know.
I think she dated Brad Pitt.
How'd you know?
I watched The Big Short last night. It was the first thing that came to my head.
I think Deadmau5 was pretty good. That's my take. I think Deadmau5 is pretty sick.
Nah.
So you think the idea that you dating Kat Von D is ridiculous, but I'm reading this personal life section. Von D has tattooed herself with the emblems of the bands Him, Misfits, Turbo Negro, ZZ Top. That doesn't
Turbo
seem so...
Turbo Negro, hell yeah.
Yeah, this doesn't seem so ridiculous to me.
Yeah, I'm sure look, me and Kat Von D would certainly have something to talk about. How about a little less Kat Von D, a little more Kat Von Me? How about that?
Oh, she dated Nikki...
I hate that.
That's what I'm thinking of. She dated Nikki Sixx. That's what I'm thinking of.
And Jesse James.
Okay. Oh, right. That's a pretty bad rap.
Oh, and Deadmau5.
She married Deadmau5, I think.
Oh, man, I didn't know his
Jesse
name.
James and Nikki Sixx is a pretty bad
last
rap
name was actually
like, that's two Zim. Shocking blokes.
I didn't know Deadmau5's last name was actually Zimmerman.
Watch yourself there.
He's just a Jewish guy.
Andrew.
I knew that was going to happen.
I got it.
Here
what
you
was
go.
The purpose of that?
I was trying. I didn't
want
to keep...
You don't want the dregs.
Kat Von D and Deadmau5 were engaged to be married, but they called it off because Von D reckons Deadmau5 was a cheater.
A cheater?
Yeah, I reckon she seems to attract shit blokes.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, so maybe she should date a bit of Kat Von Me.
Yeah, I agree.
I should have saved the Kat Von
this episode. Then. This episode also sucks. Like, what a three episode stretch.
Yeah.
One that's the highest highs, and two that are,
yeah,
you know, below average.
Well, let's knock it up with a rewrite, James. I think it's time for one of our
patented. Yeah, do you think
rewrites.
It's time for one of our patented rewrites?
My brother.
All right, Cade. So what we've been doing through this mini series is, obviously, this show, you might agree, has a few problems.
A couple.
As a show that's 18 years old, has a couple of problems in old 2020. Yep. So what we've been doing the last few weeks with all our guests is getting people into our writer's room.
Yeah. Which Kate, you've written for TV.
Yeah, Kate's written for TV.
Yeah.
Which now consists of me, Rose, Sam Taunton, David Woodhead,
Laura Coleman,
and someone else. Oh, Alex White.
Alex White, yeah.
And Andrew Hastings is the network executive's nephew, and he is a nepotism hire.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
And he's a constant nuisance in the writers.
He's constantly pitching things like, why can't Andrew Hastings come in?
I think Andrew Hastings has good ideas, and you guys just don't give him a chance.
So we've got this writer's room, and
we've made some changes.
We're coming up with ways that we're really
trying to get this new character, Andrew Hastings, into the next episode.
We're coming up with ways that we could fix the show. So
changes we've made that are canonical so far include status quo is gay.
Oh,
he's
okay.
Out as a gay man.
Yep.
Makes a lot of sense when you see the rest of the show.
We broke Mike and Liz up.
Yes.
Mike is, because this show came out pretty immediately after 9/11, Mike is an Arabic man.
Yeah, we deal more with this being a post 9/11.
Oh my god.
Because it came out like really.
He's an Arabic Muslim, and Ewan is now Jewish, which would completely do away with the PP Doc episode.
We could get Barry Wasserman back in there.
What's the deal? You're Jewish, but you're not circumcised.
Chow and Liz have had sex as a one night stand.
And then it's implied that maybe they did it again.
Yeah, okay. They're kind of working behind the scenes.
Mm.
Ewan is a secret comic book fan, along with Status Quo.
But then it becomes not so secret.
Yeah.
Is Status Quo a comic book?
A comic book nerd?
No, not on the show. We changed it. I decided it would be important for Ewan to have a secret.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yes.
Which he does have in the show. That's
A foreskin. Yeah.
No, his secret in the show that like was a week after we came up with comic books was that he secretly loves like celebrity gossip magazines. People and stuff.
That's not really.
But I think we're keeping our one.
Yeah.
So what we're doing is we're pitching ideas for the show and an episode with an A and B story. So, Kate, do you have anything that you think would be interesting?
You can either fix an existing episode or create a whole new one.
I want to fix Liz.
Yes.
She's a very frustrating character, but I don't know why. I don't know how.
Well, Liz is just there to create problems for them.
Yeah.
So we like, that's why we broke them up, is like, you need to be your own character.
Yeah, but then by the end, it didn't take us long to be like, but then she also fucks Chow. It would be great to have
And her. She does need to be out of that relationship too, definitely.
It would be great to have her do something that didn't involve having sex with any of the characters.
Yes.
Yeah, what if she takes up a sport? Or what if she, you know... What if she gets a new job?
You know how, because like she works in like environmental charity or something.
Some shit.
Mm. Yeah. I'd like to know more about that. What's that about?
Yeah. What if Liz saves a rainforest?
Yeah.
Yeah. Get her doing like a, like give her like a hero story.
What if Liz worked on like one of the 9/11 recovery things?
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
What if Liz goes to Afghanistan?
No.
That's a bit intense.
You could get fired. This is the end of season one.
No.
What if Liz did a 9/11 recovery thing?
You know, I just got a good... my mum messaged me and said, "Hi, babe. Hope you had a good weekend. Read your article. Look good. Hope your comedy world gets back on track as soon as possible. Take care. Love, Ma."
Oh.
Tell her I said thanks for wanting my comedy world to get back on track.
There was a second text which I didn't read which said, fuck Andrew Hastings.
You should be like, thanks,
Why
Ma.
Why does this keep happening to me?
Midway through the hottest pod about off-center and she'll be like, sick.
Well, I told my sister about it and she was like, "Is it appropriate for me to listen to him?" I'm like, "No, you'll hate it." But she's the only other person I've ever met who's watched this fucking show.
So Liz is doing something, whether it's the 9/11.
And something, worthwhile.
Could it be like clashing with Jordan, her roommate?
What about...
That's my pitch. Jordan's in the cast now.
What about an
I like that.
What about an anti-war protest? That's something good, something worthwhile. It's 9/11 related.
Well, maybe that could be...
I've got it. I've got an idea. anti-war protest that Liz and Jordan are in, but keeping in mind this is a 2002 sitcom, someone digs dirt and is like, well, her ex-boyfriend was a Muslim.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, that's good.
Yeah.
Which, yes, that's in some way related to Mike, but like, yeah.
Yeah, it's still fine.
It's related to Mike, but it's her distancing herself, being like, fuck this guy.
And then maybe that way you can get some sort of like interaction between Mike and Liz, and it kind of like puts the puts them to rest.
Yeah, they have to try and be like friendly about it.
The whole point is
it gives that relationship an explosion. She's just her own character.
Yeah, but it would be nice for Mike.
Keeping in mind that's happening, and Mike still doesn't know that her and Chow fucked.
Well, that's going to be your season two cliffhanger.
Well, that could be the cliffhanger. That could be the actual cliffhanger at the end. Because the cliffhanger at the end of this season
but
is that, like,
still about
maybe they're
going to
break up because of status.
Yeah,
but that's already,
I
know,
like what you're
up.
Saying, but I also agree with Hastings. Because it would be great for like Mike to finally show some fucking contrition and be like, hey, I'm sorry for all the bullshit I did. And like apologize. And then she's like, you know what? You're kind of a shit, but like, thank you for saying that. I really appreciate it. And then, like, in the background, you hear Chow be like, Liz, you coming back in? And then it's like, what? And then it's like, executive producer, Jamie Kirk, Rose Piper.
What?
But then that is, Hastings is right. That is like a little too much. Like, Liz is fucking again.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So, what if we just save that for season two and we have, and this, we just get some sort of like, she has to. I don't know, some sort of resolution of this Mike thing to do with the war angle. I mean, it's a bit heavier than a show mostly about foreskins, but...
You could still do it in a funny way.
Yeah, that's true. There's an episode of Will and Grace where they have an on-screen
kiss.
What if,
like, the thing is,
if that's
like,
the A story, the B story, then what is it? Status, Chow, and Ewan need something to do.
So I was thinking, like, maybe, like, with just to put a cap on the Mike thing, like, maybe the Mike thing is that, like, in saying he's sorry, he also lets Liz be like, yeah, fuck this guy, and like denounce him.
Oh,
in public,
right, yeah,
and be
yeah,
like,
yeah.
This, you know, he's, like, he's an enemy of the state.
Yeah. Weirdly, Shannon Elizabeth, she could perhaps be a guest star in this, because she's half Arabic and had to come out being like, I'm half Arabic, but like, I'm still living in America, and like, this is not cool the way you're like vilifying.
I'm so
Arabs.
Glad that we're dealing like with social problems from 20 years ago. I think that's so tight.
Okay, well, what about to tie it in? Status.
But this is, we're writing it at the time.
I like it. Yeah, I know. I agree.
Well,
I get it.
Well, to tie it together, Status is doing like a cash in, like Eminem, show it, like an anti Bush song.
Yeah.
And he's trying to get like Chow and maybe Ewan as like his hype man to like. That, like, help him write.
If I were a rapper in the early 2000s, I'd do a song about how I don't like that kind of Bush, but I do like the other kind.
What? I don't understand.
Like, full
I do understand.
Caitlin, take a seat.
Talking about how you never watch porn, I'm like, maybe.
No.
Bush, the band.
That's
right. There.
That's on me.
Yeah.
You deserve much more credit than that.
Yeah. I like the band Bush.
Do you?
What's a famous song by Bush?
Glycerine's the biggest, but like Swallow's
and
like probably number two.
How does Glycerine go?
Glycerine.
Yeah.
Ah, thank you.
It's it's like,
that is how it goes.
Okay. Go by that one.
Glycerine.
Man, I think this might have skipped me. Like, I know I know in my mind there's a song by the band called Bush. Called Glycerine.
You
put it on
it.
And you'll know it.
Yeah.
It's Margarine. It's
I
the
know
Simpsons
it.
Parody.
I thought Kate's thing was pretty accurate.
That is kind of how it goes.
Yeah. You definitely know. It's a good song. But second biggest hit, I think,
let's
Swallow.
Listen to it as soon as this episode finishes. And we'll all high five. Celebrate a great episode.
Do you think it's funny?
A season ending episode.
Is it funny that the two biggest Bush songs... Oh, wait, no, sorry. No, that doesn't make sense. Because the band's called Bush. The song isn't called Bush. I was going to say the two biggest songs are after sex things. But the song's Glycerin, not Bush. I take it back.
Rock Against Bush.
Yeah, dude. That's like my favorite album, dude.
No effects.
Mine's Punk Goes Acoustic Volume 3.
Yeah, dude. Me too. I like it when they do... I don't know.
I thought you were just going to say Umbrella. I feel like that was
that's
an easy
a punk as pop, not punk as
Oh,
acoustic.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Status Quo records an anti-war song. Fucking get Ewan and Chow in there.
I like your idea of like him trying to get them to help, but like, one of them's a British dude.
Yeah.
Does he have that much to say? I guess he can be like, yeah, and get in there and like talk about how shit Tony Blair is.
Yeah. Ewan's in there for the Bush criticism, for the Blair criticism.
Yeah,
that's sick.
Man, and then Chow can be like, I went to Australia on a holiday and say that Howard sucks.
One thing that would be cool would be to retcon Chow being Vietnamese and actually make him Korean, like John Cho.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we can do that. We can make changes whenever we want.
Instead of just being like, he's Asian.
Okay, he's Korean. And also, do we maybe get rid of that he works in a fucking Vietnamese restaurant?
No, I think we pitched this earlier that he owns the restaurant.
Right, okay.
Does he, in the show, does he?
Yeah, he works in a Vietnamese restaurant.
Really?
But he does not own it.
Okay, I don't think
But I think we pitched that he was a small business owner at a young age, which is kind of cool for him. And
should also still be eccentric.
Right? Yeah, that is a thing that I didn't mention in the three episodes. Chow, and it is gone into in the three episodes and some of the episodes preceding, Chow is kind of a lunatic with an encyclopedic knowledge of like B movies from the 80s and 90s.
Mm.
Is a much more interesting character trait than Chow, like, let me smell your boobies, like, character. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
Like that?
No, a character like knowing a lot about like old movies or like old punk bands or that whatever. That's such like a Gen X fantasy, don't you reckon?
Yeah, oh yeah, but it's like
they're obsessed with.
I watched Empire Records with a friend of the show Hannah Story last night. And it's
Empire like that's like so what much. What
she wants to do that on the show.
It's like I hate it. I hate that movie.
That's like what Jason Bateman's character in Juno is all about. It's like he's a Gen X guy who talks about Gen X shit. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, listen to Sonic
he's
Youth.
He's disaffected and hates his wife.
Have you seen
But Rat? I am like, I do like Sonic Youth.
Yeah.
Have you seen
any of those characters remind me of my dad
Have you
so
seen
much.
Reality Bites?
No, never.
I love Reality Bites.
That movie fucking sucks.
I love Reality Bites.
Yeah, but when did you see Reality Bites?
When I was a teenager.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's the same reason, like, I think Can't Hardly Wait's a masterpiece.
Because as a teenager.
Yeah. I was obsessed with that guy in it. The
Ethan Embry.
The moon boot guy. Is there a mission to the moon later? I'm sure this is Can't Hardly Wait. It's the dorky guy.
Seth Green?
It's Seth Green, yes.
Yeah.
Seth Green.
Right,
Seth
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But we did that on episode three of this
podcast. We haven't seen it for 2 years.
Yeah.
Neither of them had seen the movie, so they were like a two haggis. And I was like, what are you talking about?
No, I'd seen it.
Oh, had you? I thought you both kind of weren't that hot on it.
No, I'd seen it before, but I wasn't hot on it.
Ah, so you were just wrong.
I had a weird crush on Seth Green after that.
I like Seth Green and Buffy.
He was getting around
Seth Green
a
and
lot
Buffy.
There.
It was, so.
Seth Green and Buffy.
I saw a thirsty tweet about Seth Green like the other day.
So did I.
I think it was probably just someone we both follow. Yeah. But someone was tweeting about Seth Green.
Seth Green does seem like kind of cool.
Yeah, I think so. Robot Chicken's good, man.
Yeah, he created Robot Chicken. He was in Buffy. Like, he ticks all my boxes.
Yeah, dude.
In Buffy. That's it.
That's all the boxes.
Austin
good friends with Macaulay Culkin, apparently.
Yeah, they call him Mac if you're good friends with him.
Well, I'm not. That's why I said his full name.
Yeah.
I got respect for the man, you know.
All right.
Are we done?
Yeah.
Are we?
I think so, right?
We've been going
nearly an hour.
Oh, shit. Okay. Well. Yeah, Kate, do you have anything you want to plug?
Can I plug a podcast?
Yeah.
Is that allowed?
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
You can plug anything.
It's preferred.
Avatar, the unofficial podcast featuring Kate Johnson and Jonathan Schuster.
I love this.
Where
so
we
much.
Talk all things Avatar.
Yeah. And so are you
excited for the upcoming Avatar 2?
Yes.
Are you upset that COVID
was
has
it created
led to
kind
delays
of
in Avatar 2?
Yes.
How many times
did
you see Avatar in the movies?
I've seen Avatar twice in my life.
All right.
I've only seen it once.
Did it once with the 3D gogs at least?
Yeah, I did it once in 2009 when it came out.
Did it blow your mind? Yeah.
Yes, I loved it. And then I watched it again when Jonathan contacted me about the podcast.
Was it kind of in anticipation of the second one?
Yes, a little bit.
I went to a preview DVD screening of it at the Oxford Art Factory, thrown by the company. We got a little gift bag with
the sequel.
No, the first movie back in whenever it came out.
2009
or something. 2009. Yeah.
Went to Oxford Art Factory, watched it, watched all the I went with my girlfriend at the time, and like they were all these like Fox like entertainment gift bags that had like Avatar the game, like a bunch of DVDs, and like random tchotchkes and stuff. We just saw like a bunch of like journalists sit down because I was like, isn't it cool we get to go to things like this? I was just doing it for free, like freelance, hoping that I'd get like something.
That's cool.
Well, like, that was the free thing to me. And then we just watched all these disaffected journalists, like, roll in, like, drink, like, an Avatar-themed cocktail. It was blue. And they would sit down on, like, these shitty folding chairs that you get, like, at a comedy gig, watching, like, Avatar on a projector and, like, constantly checking their watches.
Three-hour fucking movie.
Checking their watches on top of chairs. And then, like, 45 minutes in, just, like, getting up, being like, we can take these, right?
How often can you write Sam Worthington's accent is bad?
Yeah. Well, eventually, like...
It looks great.
My friend Paul once described it as being made love to in the eyes by God.
Oh, my...
I didn't like it at the time. I thought it was...
Go for it.
I thought it was fine.
You got a whole podcast.
Very intense line.
But, like, during that... Because I was on that holiday where I went to Portugal, the scary holiday, was when Avatar came out. So I missed it while I was there. And then I got back and, like, friends of mine were like, Avatar, bro? And I was like, nah. And they were like, one of my friends was like, fuck the pub, drop everything, go see it. I've seen it five times. We're not dropping it. I'm not dropping everything. Like, I want to see my friends again.
There's a lot going on in the movie too. There's actually a lot to talk about.
A lot of cats fucking. Yeah.
You could do a whole episode on the concept of unobtainium.
I love that it's called unobtainium.
It's so funny.
It's so funny.
Everything about that movie seems all, like, perfectly crafted, except the name.
It's such a first draft.
I'm like, whoa, what?
Yeah. That's, like, so clearly a placeholder
name.
Yes. I think it's cool.
It's like, we have to go to the center of the planet and mine out the MacGuffin. All right, I guess. Like, we're just not trying, are we? Like,
The insert name here.
Yeah, dude. I was thinking about MacGuffins the other day, about how, like, I really like getting drugs because it's like it gives your weekend a MacGuffin. Like, it's like there's an object you have to get. Like, there's something that you're... There's, like, a thing that you... There is pressure on you to get a thing. And if you get it, you have a good time. If you don't, there's a negative consequence of some time. It feels like work like that. Yeah, that's
you're
the
looking
problem.
At two people who cannot disagree with you more.
I don't relate at all. I'm trying to relate.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it gives...
Like,
it,
me and Kate are both, like...
It puts,
like,
it gives
neither
you,
of you have ever done
no
a hard drug.
No, even less than you.
It gives you like a bit of a purpose. Like,
I've never done.
You're like,
a
it's
hard
like once you've got it, you get a sense of like, I did it.
Like, Kate, you, like, Kate doesn't even smoke weed.
Oh,
I never smoked a cigarette.
That's a bit hardcore for me. Oh, well, yeah. I did that for a while.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, it's like it means when you've got it, you get like it's like I hear the like level over music from Mario when I'm holding drugs.
Drugs are my unobtainium.
Yeah, like it's like doing the drugs is the reward for getting the drugs. That's how it feels a little bit.
Yeah. Do you have anything to plug?
Not really. Come see me on Twitter. Someone recognized me at bouldering the other day. This is the second time. Like, someone recognized me from bouldering the other day. This is the second time this is happening. It's quickly catching up to the number of times people have recognized me from comedy. So hey, come check out me bouldering.
I'm still very new.
Ah, that's cool.
It's true. I got recognized.
Tell your friends about the pod. How about that?
Yeah, like, share, subscribe, that whole thing. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter. I'm at Rosales Piper. Follow the podcast. We'll just tell you, Mother, we ate it on Facebook, where we ate it all on Twitter, where we ate it all podcast on Instagram. Jamie, anything to plug?
Yeah, I'm Jamie Coke Comedy on Twitter. Come to Evelyn Comedy every Sunday while Sydney's still open.
Do you have socials you want to plug?
Oh, and watch Off Center on YouTube. We shouldn't have to do it alone.
I only have at Kate Johnso.
Kate Johnso.
That's all.
You're on Instagram?
I'm on Instagram, but it's private.
She's posting too many nudes.
It's too much riffraff on Instagram.
We hit peak Kate Johnso.
Yeah, we did. You can follow suit. You know how we end this episode. Here we go.
To the next ep.
To the next ep.
To the next ep.
The tweet got 3 likes.
Great.
Too much riffraff on Twitter.